KHNS Local News. I'm Katie Hicks. Stay tuned. Candidates for Skagway and Haines school boards are also on the October 5th municipal ballots. In Haines, voters will fill 3 seats on the 7-member school board. All seats but one have candidates running unopposed, but all 4 participated in a question-and-answer interview with KHNS this week. Each candidate described their background and experience as it is relevant to serving on the school board. Sean Cohn is running for the 3-year seat that Brenda Jones was appointed to last year.
I've been a resident of Haines for about 3 years now. For most of my professional life, I've been a helicopter pilot, been a stay-at-home dad for the last 6 years, and I volunteer quite a bit around the community as well. I'm just interested in helping out around the school and seeing if I can provide some input as to what happens around there.
Brenda Jones, who holds the seat that Sean Cohn is running for.
I was appointed to the Haynesboro School Board in December 2009. I've served as a treasurer. I've been on the Strategic Planning Committee, and I've also gone to School Board Effectiveness. I've got a master's in business administration, and as part of it, I took training in strategic planning, so that's been very applicable for my school board experience.
Anne Marie Palmieri was also appointed to the board last year. She is running unopposed.
I am currently on the school board. I was appointed last December. I have been participating on several different committees while on the school board, the policy committee, hiring committees for various positions, as well as reviewing the strategic plan.
The 4 candidates described their interest, dedication, or investment in the welfare of the Haines School. Brenda Jones.
To start with, I'm a parent, and I've got a son that's in 9th grade at the Haines School, and as a member of the community, I think the school system is extremely important.
Sean Cohn.
I do have a son who is a 2nd grader at the school. I spend time volunteering around the school and have for the last year or so, in addition to some other places around the community, such as the Haines Public Library. And I would like to have input as to what happens with the future of our school, which I think is an extremely valuable asset to this community.
Sarah Swinton.
My basic interest of the school is to take care of the kids and make sure they're getting the best possible education that we can offer.
And Anne Marie Palmieri.
Some of the things that we need to do as a school is give all the students the ability to think critically. Also, teach them to speak and write persuasively and to work with diverse group of people. And if we can help the students to accomplish these 3 things by the time they get out of school, then they will be able to be successful in jobs that we're preparing them for.
What are or would be your priorities as a member of the school board, beginning with Sarah Swinton?
I'm majorly a voice for the extracurriculars for the children, too, because it's been proven that if they're involved in extracurricular activities, they do get higher grades up, and so I have been known to be pushing that while being on the school board.
Anne Marie Palmieri.
One of my big priorities is working with programs for the higher achieving students. I think we're doing a really good job with our special ed programs and with kids that are on lower achieving end of the spectrum, but you know, we also need to enhance the learning opportunities for those kids that are higher achieving.
Sean Cohn running against Brenda Jones.
I think the first priority is to help improve the communication between the school board and the Haynesboro Assembly. I think we've seen a couple of examples recently where perhaps the communication that existed in the past is not there anymore and that hasn't been a current feature. I'd also like to see an improvement or perhaps enhancement of the school's vocational programs.
And Brenda Jones.
We recently did the strategic plan, and we are looking to continually improve our systems, and I fully back the strategic planning initiative that's going on. It's a matter of looking out and continually refining our systems for the best interest of our children.
Finally, describe one item where the school board is headed in the right direction and one they could be handling better. Anne Marie Palmieri, running unopposed.
The school board recently approved the strategic plan, and I think that is a great document. A lot of people really worked hard on that plan, and that has lays the foundation for where we want to go for the next couple of years. And I think if we can stick to that strategic plan, I think that'll really help us to guide the school in a good direction. As for something that I don't think we're doing well, I mentioned trying to meet the needs of those higher achieving students. I think that's something that we need to work on.
Sarah Swinton running unopposed.
Well, we just got done doing our strategic plan, and in that strategic plan you address new areas of the school, which we're working on curricular development right now, and so I think we're heading in the right direction there. As far as wrong direction, I really don't see one right now. I think the school is moving forward at a nice rate, and everybody is working hard.
Brenda Jones running against Sean Cohn.
The strategic plan is definitely something that we're headed in the right direction of. It's a matter of taking a look and seeing what our strengths and weaknesses are, improving on the strengths and taking the weaknesses and coming up with improvements for them. I think that the one area that we've really identified as needing to work on is communication and getting community involvement.
And Sean Cohn.
The school is currently undergoing a curriculum mapping system. What it is try to get a strategic overview of the entire curriculum. I think that's probably the most valuable thing that they've got in progress right now. Because without that holistic view of the curriculum as a whole, you end up addressing it piece by piece. I think that they're well along in that process. They're also reviewing the board policies and procedures step by step. And while it's drudge work, it needs to be done.
Skagway School Board has one seat open in this year's election. Incumbent Darren Belisle is running unopposed. Election day is Tuesday, October 5th. Just west of Bellingham, Washington, a small fleet of reef netters continue to make a living the way the Lummi tribe invented centuries ago. But these reef netters aren't Lummies. On small barges anchored near a shallow reef, spotters in rubber boots and rain gear cling to metal towers. They're on the lookout for sockeye salmon swimming toward Canada's Fraser River. As KUOW's John Ryan reports from Lummi Island, it's a banner year for Fraser River sockeye and the people who catch them.
The morning fog hasn't quite burned off Rosario Strait as an oil tanker heads south between Orcas and Lummi Islands. Below the surface, thousands of sockeye head north. They're aiming for the Fraser River and their spawning grounds upstream. But Riley Starks and his crew have something else planned for them.
Standing on top of a tower about 20 feet off the water, looking for sockeye salmon. I've done this fishery for 18 years.
Stark's crew of five springs into action. Electric winches reel in a net suspended between their two small barges. The edges of the net rise to the surface, and the school of sockeye inside has nowhere to turn. Stark's races down a ladder to help his crew haul in the net by hand. They want to get the fish out of the water and the reef net back in the water before the next school of sockeye passes through. The silver and green sockeye weigh about 6 pounds each. They thrash like mad as they're hoisted out of the water and put in a holding tank. The 60-year-old commercial fisherman can spot salmon swimming 20 feet underwater.
These fish are coming from the Straits of Juan de Fuca. The tide just brings them straight to Lummi Island.
Because reef netters wait for the fish to come to them, Stark says they have much less environmental impact than salmon boats that head out to sea.
Well, they have to chase the fish. There's the tenders and all the little boats that go out and fish, and there's just a huge amount of fossil fuels that go into that, and then usually fished in remote places, and then you got to get the fish back to the lower 48.
Starks is constantly going up and down the ladder as the sockeye keep coming. Biologists expect 25 million sockeye salmon to return to the Fraser River this year. It's the biggest return since before World War I. Fishermen and women from Western Washington will get to catch nearly 2 million of those fish. 9 Washington tribes will get the lion's share of that. Most of the fishing is concentrated in a frenzied couple of weeks in August. The bounty is night and day from recent years. 2 years ago, U.S. officials declared a disaster. The Fraser runs were so low. Last year, the fishery was canceled. Canadian officials have created a special commission to find out why so many sockeye just disappeared last year. On this August morning, two rows of reef net operations are working the waters off Lummi Island.
Back in the old days, there used to be 9 rows, all going all the way to Lummi Rocks. So this, you know, fishery is pretty tiny compared to what it used to be.
In fact, the Lummi tribe used to have reef nets throughout the San Juan Islands. The Lummis got pushed out of the islands and onto a reservation outside of Bellingham. The Lummi kept fishing on Fraser sockeye, but from fishing boats, not reef towers.
That's all we've known. That's what we grew up on, was making a living on Fraser sockeye.
Cliff Culty is a commercial fisherman and a member of the Lummi Tribal Council.
Grandfather and uncles, they all had their own purse seiners, like the 58-foot boats. The routine was, you know, after school, we'd get up, go to do the web locker in Bellingham, and we'd put the nets together with all the uncles and grandfather and crews, do all the nets all at once.
Culty says the runs started declining in the 1980s. Many Lummi fishermen had to turn to something besides sockeye.
because we just couldn't make it on salmon fishing alone anymore. Things started dwindling, and we had to find other opportunities to make money and, you know, keep the lights on.
Culty says Dungeness crab has become the most important fishery for the Lummi Nation. Hundreds of crab pots are stacked all along the 200-foot-long dock. Some Lummi have outfitted their fishing boats to catch something that probably doesn't spring to mind when you think of seafood.
They're really, really hard creature to describe, but they kind of look like a elongated balloon with these little horns on the back of them. And they have these little nubs on the belly side of them.
They're sea cucumbers.
And they have a mouth. They don't have any eyes or anything.
Culty says it took several years to learn how to find sea cucumbers in commercially viable numbers, but Lummi divers plucked a record number off the seafloor last year for export to Asia. Culty says he likes diving for cucumbers and being underwater, but he says the Lummi still go salmon fishing whenever they can. Nobody expects this year's supersized run of sockeye to repeat anytime soon. The offspring of this year's sockeye won't mature for 4 years. In the off years of the Fraser's four-year cycle, the runs are much smaller. But this summer, at least, tribal and non-tribal fishers alike are enjoying the best sockeye fishing of their lives. Reporting from Lummi Island, I'm John Ryan.
Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. Reporting for KHNS, this is Katie Hicks.